gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I wonder how many of you have ever had to produce a CV, a curriculum vitae, for a job application. Perhaps some of you have done many of them over the years. If you've done one, you'll know what it is. It's that piece of paper that tells a potential employer everything that they need to know about you. Your qualifications, your work experience, and a little bit about your hobbies and your interests outside of work. And if any of you are followers of the Apprentice programme on TV, you'll know that there's always one episode in that series, usually amongst the finalists, where a panel of experts go through the CVs of the candidate with a fine-tooth comb. And when they do it, they try to pick out any mistakes, or they double-check what people are actually saying about themselves is true, and often the candidates are found to have just slightly twisted the truth about themselves. But people do make mistakes on their CVs, don't they? An example here, there's one person put, I speak fluent English and spinach. How about this one? I enjoy cooking Italians and Chinese. This is another one. This is someone who put this in their section under skills and talents that they had. And they'd put skills, strong work ethic, attention to detail, team player, self-motivated, attention to detail. One candidate tried to explain their criminal record that they had, and they said, they stated this, they said, we stole a pig, but it was a really small pig. Just one more. This was in qualifications, and someone had put, my twin sister has an accounting degree. But strange things that we might put on our CV. But in this letter that Paul wrote to the followers of Jesus in Ephesus, he wrote this letter to remind them what they are in Jesus. And the great thing about this letter is, even though it was written to the Christians, the followers of Jesus in Ephesus, it was designed to be a letter that was passed around to the churches there in that area, passed around to churches beyond. And these words come to us today as words that are relevant for us today. Well, words that speak to us today in the situation that we find ourselves in. And Paul wants to remind the followers of Jesus just what we have, just what we are. There was one more. Salary requirements. The higher the better. There we go. So Paul wants to write, and in the first two chapters of Ephesians, these are just some of the things that Paul writes about, of what we have in Christ. In Christ we have a new identity. In Christ I have grace and peace. In Christ I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. In Christ I have been chosen and planned for. There is a plan for my life. In Christ I am God's child. In Christ I am highly favored. In Christ I am redeemed and forgiven. In Christ I have a great hope. In Christ I am sealed with the Spirit. In Christ I am greatly loved. In Christ I have come alive. In Christ I am seated in heavenly places. In Christ I am God's workmanship. In Christ I am a new creation. And you know, if you're here this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, you can put all of those things on your CV. All of those things apply to you because of Jesus. And none of it can ever be taken away. That's who you are. That's who God has created us to be in Christ. Wonderful truths that Paul reflects on in this letter. Of course, that's not just the full picture, is it? Because not only do we have a new identity and a new purpose in Christ, we also have a new place of belonging. God calls us into his family. That's what we are called into, his family. As a Christian, you are not working for some nameless, faceless boss who you never ever see and sits in a boardroom somewhere. No, you are part of the family. God welcomes us as his children. To be brothers and sisters in Christ together. One body, one family, one united people. That's what we are. Yes, we have a new identity, but we have a new family. We are God's people together. And what Paul does in this letter is he encourages us to remember, if that's what we have and that's what we are, then we need to live it out. It's no good just having things written on your CV and then that's all they ever are, things on a piece of paper. We're called to live out what we have in Christ. And so he writes at the beginning of this letter, of the reading we had today, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. A life worthy of the calling you have received. A life lived in the light of who you are in Christ. That new identity, that new belonging to the family of God, that new purpose that you have in him. Live it out. And that's the next three chapters of this letter are actually then about living out the identity that we have in Christ. And it's not a list of company rules and regulations that we have to follow. It's not a list given by a harsh, hard employer, but it's guidelines from our loving Father God. God who wants to encourage us. God who wants to build us up and strengthen us. God who wants to remind us who we are, that we might never lose sight of that. But also as a good father who wants to challenge us that we might grow. Challenging us to live up to the glory of our new identity as his children. First here, Paul reminds us that he actually has the credentials to speak to us. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then. We remember that when Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison. He was in prison because of his faith, because he had spoken up. He had shared the truth about who Jesus was. And for that, he had been thrown into jail. And think about that in the context of Paul's life. Here was someone who years earlier was a man who threw Christians into jail. Here was someone who had Christians arrested. Here was someone who stood on and watched approvingly as Stephen, the follower of Jesus, was executed. That's what Paul was, and yet God had been at work in his life, and through an incredible act of transformation in Paul, Paul went from being a persecutor to someone who was persecuted because he stood for the truth about Jesus. So when Paul says, I urge you to live out this calling, we know that that's words spoken from his experience, from the reality of the difficulties in his own life. He was someone who was devoted to being the person that Christ had called him to be, even when it meant literally going to prison. Second thing we might notice from this verse here is that Paul refers to Jesus as Lord. That's an interesting change there, because up to this point in Ephesians, often Paul has referred to Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the Saviour. But here he speaks of Jesus as Lord. And that's the phrase that Paul then often uses through the rest of this letter. 20 more times in chapters 4 to 6, Jesus is described by Paul as Lord, the Lord. Why is that significant? Because, you know, I think sometimes we find it easy to speak about Jesus as Saviour. And that's a wonderful truth, and that's an incredible truth, that Jesus is the Saviour. But when we talk about Lord, that's something different. Jesus is Lord, that's something different. Because that's saying then that if Jesus is Lord, he is Lord of my life. We can acknowledge Jesus as Saviour, but then do nothing about it. It makes no difference in our lives. But when we declare that Jesus is both Saviour and Lord, we're saying, yes, thank you, Lord, that through your life and your death and your resurrection, I can know forgiveness and peace in my life. That's a credible truth. And you're Lord of my life, so I want to live for you as Lord in my life. And you know, for those early Christians, for them, the most dangerous and the most difficult thing was to say, Jesus is Lord. They could speak about Jesus as Saviour. They could even speak about Jesus as Messiah. The Romans weren't too bothered about that. But as soon as a follower of Jesus said, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is ruler, Jesus reigns over my life and all things, that's when the Roman authorities took notice and started to persecute and to jail and to execute Christians. It was a hard thing to say. Perhaps that's a challenge to us, isn't it? Can we share those words? Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus makes a difference in every aspect of my life, in the decisions I make, how I use my money, how I use my time, the relationships I have, the things that I do, the things that I'm involved in. Is Jesus Lord in everything and through everything? Last phrase for us to notice in that verse. Paul says, I urge you. I urge you. This is about a decision that we make. This isn't just letting things happen as they happen. You might have heard the phrase before, let go and let God. You might have heard that before, and maybe there's some times that that's relevant. But actually, we have a part to play as well. How are we consciously deciding to follow Jesus day by day in the things that we do and in the things that we say? Paul says, I urge you, do something about it. Live the life that you have been called to. Live a life that reflects what's on your CV in Christ. Live out the calling that God has for you. And one of the great things about this letter is that It doesn't just leave us with a whole series of abstract ideas and things to think about. Paul actually tells us what this should look like. Verse 2, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's what we're called to live out, this life that we have in Christ. A life of humility, a life of gentleness. A life that says, I am willing to make myself lower that Christ might be seen in me and through me. Where a life that's lived where it's not about I, it's not about me being at the centre and everything has to revolve around me, but it's about Jesus being at the centre and everything points to him. And that's a challenge to us, isn't it? Because sometimes we like to be at the centre. We like to put our needs before the needs of others. The challenge to us is to keep Jesus at the centre. But also to be there for each other. To be patient with each other. To bear with one another in love. To make every effort that we can to work together in unity and that shared common purpose, that bond of peace. You know, we had an incident, didn't we, this week in Christchurch when that man walked into a mosque and thought that he was more important than those who had gone there to worship that day. He thought that he was in the right to take his gun and to shoot them. Because, you see, he had put himself at the centre of his world. And his ideas, whatever the consequences, were the right thing and the right thing to do. The call that we have in Christ is not about me, it's about Jesus. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, who welcomes all people to himself. Being humble, gentle, sharing the bond of peace together. So those are what we're called to. Those are what we're called to live out. And those are aspects of our life that the world will sit up and take notice of. You know, however grand we build our church buildings, or however fantastic our worship is, or whatever we dress church up as, the world really doesn't have any interest in it. But lives lived out with gentleness and humility and patience and of love, the world notices that. That makes a difference, because that is so different to the message of the world around us. And that's what we're called to be, as God's people together, as a family together, living our lives, yes, recognizing what we are in Christ, but also recognizing what we're called to be as we live our lives for him in the world. The body of Jesus in the world. We thought about that a couple of weeks ago. Jesus who washed feet, Jesus who ministered to the sick, Jesus who cried at the graveside of his friend, Jesus who offered words of encouragement and of challenge and of mercy and of hope and of forgiveness. Let's be those who are willing to live our lives centered on Christ, living our lives for the one who has given everything for us. And the world will notice, and the world will be challenged as we live the life that we are called to live in Jesus. You know, for each one of us, I don't know what's in your diary this week. Maybe I don't want to know what's in your diary this week. But What I do know is that for each and every one of us, there will be that opportunity this week to live that out. To be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, to be bearing with one another in love, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Each and every one of us will have opportunity to do that this week. Maybe in a club that we're part of, maybe in the place that we go to work, maybe amongst our family, our friends, our neighbours, wherever it is, we have the opportunity to do that. That's what we've put on our CV. Let's live it out. Live it out for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you gave up everything for us. We're reminded of those words in Philippians that says that being found in appearance as a man, you humbled yourself and became obedient to death. Even death on a cross. You did that for us, Lord, because you love us. We thank you for all that we have in you. A new life, a new start. Forgiveness, a new purpose, a new direction, a new hope. Lord, please forgive us when we choose to put ourselves at the centre of our lives instead of you. Putting our own needs before the needs of those around us. Failing to listen to your call upon us. Thinking what we know best. Lord, forgive us for that. But thank you again that you call us to live our lives for you. And your promise is to help us and equip us to do that. So, Lord, as we go into the coming week, help us in those times when we know what you're calling us to do, but it seems really difficult to do it. Help us to hear your voice calling us. Help us to know your provision, to know your love, to be ready to share your peace wherever we go. With whomever we meet. And may we do all this for your glory.